It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 412 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so very much for listening. This week it's the return of Michael Heitkemper, one of the driving forces behind Freedom Fighter, and they now have a new Kickstarter going on to support issue number 10. We talk about the 10th issue as well as the books leading up to it. We also discuss characters in the series, including the Freedom Fighter, as well as some of his opponents and who they are and what they can do. We also talk about his other book, Acts of Contrition. He's got volume 2 has come out, as well as the first volume, of course, and he's working on number 3. So there's all kinds of good things going on in the Heitkemperverse. As always, we end up talking about the industry and conventions, among other things, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Great to welcome back to the podcast Mike Heitkemper, one of the creators of Freedom Fighter, which is a very successful comic, and has a Kickstarter going on right now. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Wayne. How are you?
Good. It's been about 2 years since I talked with you last, and yeah. At that time, I think you were up to issue 4. I went ahead and went out to Comixology and found your stuff out there and bought every one since then, so I could have some idea what's going on with the book, even though I signed up on your Kickstarter to get all the digital comics. I like to get that, because maybe the one you have is a little different than the one at Comixology makes available.
Well, the digital comics are probably going to be about the same, but the print issues, they're going to be much different. There'll be a lot of bonus material, especially the ones that come on the Kickstarter.
Okay, so. Maybe I'll have to re-examine that and see about that, because I like having the good stuff that's good to read and stuff. So, am I correct in remembering that? You did about 4 issues the last time I talked with you?
It may have been. A lot's happened since the last time that I talked to you, for sure. We've been, we're up to issue 10. Mm-hmm. That's what the Kickstarter's for, actually. No, we're up to issue 10, and we decided to run a Kickstarter on it just because we've never done a Kickstarter before, and we wanted to try it out. We wanted to reach out to some of the Kickstarter crowds and get more readers for our comic series, really. So,
because now, your description in the Kickstarter says that you've been putting out books and comics for the past 16 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been writing for a while. Comics, more such... I've been doing those for the past 6 probably years, but I mean, I wrote a couple novels and short stories, things of that much, many years before that. I think my first book I released whenever I was 18 years old. So, published that through a small publisher in Pennsylvania, and you know, it did so for a 18 year old's novel, you know, mm-hmm. And, it's out of print now, but, yeah.
That could be another benefit if you go onto the Kickstarter, maybe get a hold of some of that.
Maybe it's in a stretch goal.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Now, another thing I noticed, too, you said that this book has outlasted 2 publishers. I know one of them was Insane Comics, which I'm still grieved with the loss of that. What's the other publisher?
First publisher that we had for Freedom Fighter was Outpouring Comics, and they were... really on the scene for probably about 2 years. And, I think it was really a similar story to what happened with Insane. They just decided they wanted to do something different, and they kind of dumped all of their titles, overnight and, kind of upset a lot of people, but it's something that happens in the comics world, you know, in indie publishing. And, we were, of course, one of those that they just kind of dumped overnight. And, we thought we were sunk at that point. We really didn't think too many people were going to be too hyped about a superhero indie comic series, you know, that had already been, you know, as it appeared, dumped by a publisher. So when Insane Comics picked us up, we were just like super thrilled. Mm-hmm. And we did really good with them. And it hurts, and it's a shame that they had to close down the way that they did. So mm-hmm.
Now, are you indie? Are you doing you're self-publishing at this point?
Yeah, after Insane closed up, AJ's the artist, of course, and he's kind of the co-creator. Also, we created this character together, and we sat down and talked about it for a while on whether or not we would actually search for another publisher or just think maybe we ought to just run this on our own. You know, we're so far into it, and we have a plan for the character, so we didn't want anything else to slow us down, because it seems you know, when a publisher falls apart underneath you twice in, you know, in a row, it's kind of mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe it seems like somebody's trying to tell you something. Don't go that route, you know.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because it's interesting to me, because, you know, the industry is trying to figure out what it wants to be when it grows up.
And yeah,
it just doesn't know. I mean, you know, you've got, you, like I said, the Freedom Fighters available on Comixology. There were people mm-hmm. who said that digital was going to be the only way, and there weren't going to be print copies anymore. But that hasn't panned out as well.
I think there will always be print copies. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, for me, I have a hard time reading digital comics, because, you know, you look at a screen all day trying to read the comics. It hurts your eyes. I enjoy being able to sit back and, you know, hold the comic in my hands, look at them, and enjoy them that way. So I don't think they will ever, you know, stop printing comics, but it definitely has taken a hit. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's really interesting to me, because when I read your books through the Comixology website, it laid them out, unlike other books, it put them up two pages like a book would be in front of me. Hmm. You know, so it was almost like the comic experience, because a lot of times I buy these digital books and they zoom in on a particular panel and they zoom to another one, and I don't get any sense of page from one to the other. You know, on the other hand, it's an interesting way to tell a story, but I always kind of, I'm with you, I like the comic experience. I think it's something interesting.
It is. And, you know, I like to collect, you know, and my wife knows it too. I collect more comics than I actually read. So I've got a drawer just filled with comics that, you know, I need to read yet. And, I probably will, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's an impulse buy. You see it on a shelf, or you see it at a Comic Con. It's like, oh, I don't have that one. So it needs to be here.
Well, you tell your wife that I have a stack of stuff I haven't read yet that's as tall as I am. Oh. I've been trying to get to some of it, and I just can't get to as much as I would like to, but
yeah,
that's just great. Now, we've talked about Freedom Fighter. Why don't you give a description, in case somebody wasn't listening to your previous interview about 2 years ago? What is Freedom Fighter?
So basically, Freedom Fighter is a superhero that was created by the U.S. government, and he's used by the government to do covert operations and go on missions and stuff. During a mission, the Freedom Fighter is apparently killed in action, and the government, they're trying to protect the strength and integrity of the character that they created. So instead of telling the public what had happened to the Freedom Fighter, they decide, hey, we'll just replace the guy behind the mask. And that's when they bring in this new guy, Jason Blum, to be the Freedom Fighter. And as he's going along, he's kind of learning the ropes and figuring out how to be a superhero, and also follow the orders of his leaders, you know, without question. And things happen in the first story arc where he starts to question, you know, some of the things they're sending him on, and he uncovers that the first Freedom Fighter, he probably wasn't killed. He was actually betrayed and exiled, you know, by the U.S. government. And, so, you know, that whole story, that's more or less the premise of the first story arc, you know. And after that, Freedom Fighter went on more adventures and uncovers more conspiracies within the government that pertain around him and the science lab that created him, called the Fourth Quarter. So,
Interesting. Now, the thing I'm really interested in is I was reading the books, and I read like from 6 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that's what your build-up towards the bad guy or the evil organization, shall we say, in the 10th
yeah.
issue. Talk about yeah. that. What's the business with that?
So over the past four issues, Freedom Fighters uncovered the Unity is what we call it. It's a secret organization that's been around for thousands of years and has somehow had its hands into all sorts of historical moments. From, you know, World War II, all sorts of things. And it's leading up to the reveal. Well, in issue 9, actually, we revealed the leader of the Unity is a guy named Nash. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you exactly what he is or who he is because that's revealed into the 10th issue. But he's kind of a I will say that he is an interdimensional being because I think that was revealed in issue 9. Bonus pages. So, he's got a bone to pick with the Freedom Fighter, and he's coming after him pretty hard. And he's been setting up his revenge over the past several hundred years. You know, it's going to start going down in issue 10.
Okay, there's a lot of people don't like the Freedom Fighter. Apparently, we had the Rogue Wolf. He's was the seemed to be the main bad guy in the first story arc.
Yeah, and of course, he was the original Freedom Fighter. I mean, I know that's a spoiler for people that haven't read the first story arc, but, you know, he had a reason to kind of just hate the Freedom Fighter and the program and stuff because they had betrayed him. So, the Nash and the Unity, it's a little bit deeper than that. And, oh gosh, I wish I could reveal more about it.
Buy the book. That's what you got to do to find out more
about
this
stuff. Yeah, that's what you have to do.
See, it's interesting to me because, you know, when you think of evil organizations, sometimes I don't think they necessarily want to be described by Unity. There's a lot of infighting going on, you know, the business that criminals, you know, superstitious and cowardly lot, all that stuff. And then you want to, you know, they don't necessarily get along.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you've got a group called Unity. I mean, are they going to get along?
Well, it's the Unity is something. It's almost like a guise that Nash created in order to get his following.
Hmm.
You know, because he's misleading. Well, if you've read the last few issues, you'll see that a lot of it is kind of, you know, it doesn't make sense. A lot of the things that he's doing at this point, but. Whenever you see what he does in issue 10, a lot of it will make sense.
Mm.
So, you know, he's got to fool a lot of people into thinking he's doing something else to be able to do what he's doing. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Now, let's get to the important stuff that people should know. If you go to Kickstarter and you look under Freedom Fighter, Unity, all caps, Reborn, comma, Part 1.
Yeah, I think you can just search Freedom Fighter and it'll come up. It comes up at the top. So
now the deadline is New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Tuesday, December 31st at 3:04 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, the good news is your goal is over halfway met when we're talking. Hopefully when this posts this weekend, it won't be, you know, it won't be that far. You'll be a lot closer to your goal and stuff. So do you want to talk about the goal?
Yeah, the goal, you know, it's relatively low for a comic book series. It's $800, and we're just really, you know, reaching for the print cost to pay for a decent run of the books. So that way we can take it to cons and show it off and stuff, and of course cover the rewards and the shipping costs of the rewards and the Kickstarter fees. So we've done the math pretty good, I hope, you know, fingers crossed. So I think it'll come out all right, and we were a little skeptical on whether we should run it in December, just because Christmas and all, people tend to spend more money on their families and stuff, as they should, you know. It's just that time of year. But Freedom Fighter 10 has actually been done for almost a month before we started the Kickstarter, and we were just kind of tossing, like, what should we do? Should we do a Kickstarter or shouldn't we? So we just decided to pull the trigger on it, go with it, and see where it lands. And so far, like you said, we're over halfway there. I think we're having what they call that midway stall.
Yeah.
of a Kickstarter, and from what it seems like, we're gonna come out okay once the backers start really putting in. We've had a lot of support from friends and readers. It's been great so far.
Like I said, I've signed up for it, and I might change my mind as to what it is I exactly want moving forward. I see there's a trade of the first four.
Yeah. We actually we started running out of the first printing of issues 1 through 4 earlier this year, back in January, I think, and we started deciding, okay, we'll start collecting those in trade, because with our graphic novel that we write, Acts of Contrition, we've had a lot of success selling books as trade, because people get a whole story in one purchase, and at cons, that is, they enjoy that better than they do a bunch of floppy books. So we decided to release that as a trade paperback. We've made it available on Amazon and, of course, Comixology and digital. Well, it was on Comic Central before they closed up too. So, but it's out there.
So I was going to ask you about Acts of Contrition, because I got that and read that too a while back.
Oh yeah.
So it went well. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. It's going pretty well. We've, of course, released the second volume of the story. So, and we're actually working on volume 3 for it right now too. And hopefully we'll have that out mid-year next year. So.
Is the second volume available on Comixology?
I think, no, not yet. It has been approved by Comixology, but, you know, not to knock them or anything. Comixology is weird. They're kind of slow on getting things put up, you know, in a timely manner. So it's in the queue, I'm sure, to be put on there. We just haven't been told exactly when. The second book, it is available on Amazon, and it's available in digital and print on Amazon.
Okay, that's interesting. The Amazon got it all the way through before Comixology did. That's fascinating.
It baffles me too, because Comixology is an Amazon company. So you would think that they were kind of working together on it. So.
Well, Comixology has their own unique way of doing things.
Yeah.
As somebody who has tried to submit stuff to them for comics and stuff, they have very specific ways that the files need to be. Certain resolutions, certain sizes, you know, file sizes, not only page size and stuff like that. You've got to meet their standards completely. I don't know if that's true of Amazon, the other Amazon areas.
Actually, we had, you know, we had never, until Acts of Contrition, we had never done a graphic novel on Amazon before, and we did it through their KDP program, which is Kindle Direct Publishing, and they have a print program in that, and their specifications, the list was very long on what they wanted to have, and the book was, it was shot down several times, you know, on margins and things like that. Pages had to all be sized to their specifications. And we went back and forth with them for probably 3 months before they finally said, okay, it's good to go.
Wow, okay.
Well, I think we're almost pros at it now.
Well, good. See, that's the thing. Now you've learned what to do. Moving forward, you'll be able to do it a lot. You know, it'll take a lot less time because you understand exactly what it is they want.
Yeah. So, the second book, they took it almost, I think it was the first submission, they took it right in. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, I was nervous sending it in though, because I thought, "Oh, here we go again."
That's the funny part. Well, I talk a little bit more about the Kickstarter. You make a description of Freedom Fighter, just in case people are wondering whether they should get it or not. It says Freedom Fighter is 007 crosses Inspector Gadget with a superhero twist.
Yeah, that's a that's just a phrase that I think AJ coined that a long time ago, and. You know, people love it. Whenever we tell them that at a con, they're like, "Oh, that does sound like fun," you know, and it is fun. It is a spy thriller, you know. It's you know, if you took off Freedom Fighter's cape, he's essentially James Bond with a bunch of quirky tells and quirky, you know, rookie kind of feels to him. Mm-hmm. And you know, Inspector Gadget, of course, he's a quirky inspector, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it works. But yeah, the Kickstarter, we have so many different rewards that you can choose from. Most of them, every single reward, you know, I mean, other than the $1 reward, you get a digital copy of the book. You know, we got print copies of the book. You can even get all of the books, starting with issue one. Of course, issue one through four will be in trade paperback because we're out of print on those. But, you know, we're just trying to cover it so that way if you don't know what's going on, you can have the whole story. But everybody, just I want you to know that, you know, in issue 10, we are going to have a three-page recap story, you know, just kind of backing up everything that has happened over the past nine issues to kind of recap everybody of what's going on. And so that way, when you start reading issue 10, you won't be so confused.
All right. Well, it's a very easy to read book. I really like it.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it from the start. Like I said, I read up to, I think, about four before this Kickstarter started. I got a little distracted by other books and stuff like that. But I'm just fascinated because, you know, I keep hearing when I talk to people who do indie comics or do like from Image or other companies, they're terrified of superheroes because, you know, DC and Marvel basically own the market on superheroes. But here you are doing a superhero and you're up to issue 10. So there's momentum behind your book. Talk about that. Cause that's a real accomplishment.
Well, that's the funny thing. When AJ and I created this character, we were, we'd never made a comic book. So it was kind of like, hey, let's just create something just to see if we can. And we made it. And I think we made like a 10-page, you know, preview story for him and stuff. And it looked good. You know, it sounded good. And the more we created his little, his history and, the actual persona of himself, we was like, this is kind of interesting, you know, maybe somebody would like this. So we decided to pitch it to a publisher. And, you know, whenever Outpouring Comics picked us up, we were like, wow, really? You know, we knew that the deck was stacked against us being a superhero, in indie comics, because like you said, it's a tough business whenever it comes to superheroes. So whenever they picked us up, we just ran with it. They said, can you make four issues? And it's like, oh yeah, we'll do that, you know. And you know, of course, they didn't make it past issue one, but Insane Comics just picked it up, and we sold a lot of books with them. And I thought after issue four, that's going to be it, the ride will be over. But James at Insane, he said, do you have any more? You know, said, yeah, we can do more. And, you know, we planned all the way up to issue 12, you know, at that point. And here we are. It's always, whenever we go to cons, it's always a great feeling whenever people walk up and they say, hey, I've heard of this, you know, or hey, I have this one. Or, you know, had a guy contact me through the Kickstarter, actually, and he says, man, I've got all the books except for issue six, you know, and okay. So we sent him a copy of issue six. And it's just a great thing. And it, you know, that guy lived in Texas, you know, and it's neat to see how far he stretched. You know?
Yeah. It's interesting to me because, you know, people always say, oh no, superheroes, there's nothing left that you can do with superheroes. But I think you're one of the ones that are proving that wrong. Because you're having all kinds of fun and doing all kinds of interesting things with the character. I think more than other superheroes, one of the things that he deals with is a terrible social life.
Yeah. It doesn't work out for him socially. But, you know, it really can't as a superhero. And in his position, it doesn't. He's part celebrity because he's the government superhero. And And of course, he's got a duty that keeps him running around the world all day long. So,
so that's not good for any kind of social relationship.
No, but you know, with Freedom Fighter, AJ and I decided, yeah, anything goes in this comic. You know, even some just crazy off the wall stuff. Let's make the characters fun. Let's make them relatable, and you know, just make things that are fun and funny that people can smile and enjoy.
Now, you mentioned you had up to 12 issues planned out. Is that as much as you got now, or are you going to go beyond 12?
Well, we do have a plan for after issue 12. Issue 12 will be the end of the Unity Reborn story, where that starts in issue 10. And I don't want to say much about what we're going to do in issue 12, just because, you know, it's going to be a game changer after this story arc, you know. And I hate being tight-lipped about it, but I have to be. I want people to be surprised whenever they read the book, and you know, just kind of be shaken a little bit. One thing that they're going to also find in issue 10 is, if you read our books, you know that we always have a bonus story in the back of the book that's usually about 4 pages long.
Right.
And bonus story usually just adds a little background to what's happening in the main story of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing the same thing with issue 10, except for, since issue 10 is going to be extra long, it's also going to have an extra long bonus story. It's going to be 10 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
And the bonus story is about a different freedom fighter called Freedom Fighter X. And his story, it's going to seem like he's an alternate version of the Freedom Fighter, kind of like we've been revealing in the last few books. We've had, you know, splash pages of the alternate Freedom Fighters. But he's definitely something you're going to want to read really close, because there are going to be clues and keys in his story that you're going to want to look back in issue 11 and issue 12, just because it's all going to come together so tight and make a lot of sense. It doesn't right now, but it will.
Well, that's good. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about the benefits. One of your levels is already gone. People can't order that anymore, and that's what they call the early bird sketches.
Yeah. Yeah, AJ was doing some sketches that are strictly for the Kickstarter, and he said he could do up to 15 of them. And they were going to be all traditionally sketched and inked and on 11 by 17 paper. And they're super great. And he's already got several of them started, and one of them's finished. And he's really happy that we was able to sell three of them. So.
Wow, cool. Yeah. Now, there's another level, which I wish I could afford, but there's an action figure.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit, because that I don't see that very much. I see them on occasionally on Kickstarters, but I don't see them that often. So I was kind of intrigued when there's a picture of it, if you go down the page, to see what it looks like. Talk about that. I mean, how did this come to be?
Kind of a fluke, just like everything else with the Freedom Fighter. I was at Comic-Con. Oh, I don't remember which one it was. But my neighbor next to me was a guy named Gary Stevenson, and he owns a company called the Toy Brewery. Mm. And he makes his own toys. In fact, his motto is, "I make my own toys because I don't like yours," you know. And he was a really cool guy. We sat there all weekend, I guess, and chatted. And I guess he bought a copy of the Freedom Fighter, and he's looking at it. And he said, "You know, I could make this action figure," or something along those lines. And we started talking about it and said, "Well, how much, you know?" And his price was reasonable, so it was like, let's do it. So, it was like 2 weeks later, I met him out in Cordon in a parking lot, and he said, "Here he is." And I was like, "Oh, wow." It came together. You know, I won't tell you what I paid for, but, you know, it was it was low enough that I thought, you know, it's going to be cool one way or another. But it blew me away how well he had made this thing. I mean, it's fully articulate, you know, and it's hand painted. It just looks great. And in fact, you know, Freedom Fighter's armor in the comic books, it constantly changes, you know, because it has nanotech inside of it. And he made it so that way the armor could come off of the action figure and be changed, just like in the comic book. So it's kind of almost like a transformer also.
Because as I look at it on the Kickstarter page, you've got one.
Yeah, we only have one.
Wow. So you're not going to keep one for yourself?
You know, I looked at it like, hey, if somebody wanted this thing, you know, to support us, then I'm going to let it go and just let them be the super fan they want to be, you know. And that'll be great. Maybe, you know, I had reached out to Gary actually whenever we launched the Kickstarter to let him know we was doing it. And I said, "Man, I might have to have you make me another one." He's like, "Yeah, I can, but it's not going to be exactly the same, you know, because he makes them all by hand." Well, that's fine, you know. So it is a one of a kind action figure.
See, someday I can see this being in like a toy store. conventions and stuff like that. I could see this, you know, find some place like maybe overseas or something that can do it. You know, once you have the model, they can kind of reconstruct it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. you know, but, you know, we're reasonable. We realize our limits with our character, but, you know, hey, who knows what'll happen tomorrow, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody will pick it up and say, hey, we should, I mean, look at the Ninja Turtles, you know?
Now, talk about the t-shirts, too. You got a t-shirt.
Yeah, this is actually the first time we've actually made the t-shirt with the logo on it that way. We had some other Freedom Fighter t-shirts that had it basically just said Freedom Fighter on it in the logo style, but, yeah, they're going to be black t-shirts with the Freedom Fighter logo right on the chest, kind of similar to what the Freedom Fighter actually has. Mm-hmm. And they're on the t-shirt reward. I think it's a $30 tier with copies of the book, mm-hmm. I believe. Yeah, it's $30 tier. So
mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. Now, I was looking through the art on the Kickstarter page, and mm-hmm. there's an allusion to Batman the Dark Knight on one of the pages. There's one where he's jumping through and the moon is behind him and it's in a silhouette format. And, of course, every time I see that, I think Dark Knight.
Yeah. You
know? And that's one of the great things about doing superhero stuff. You can kind of have fun with it and make allusions to other stories and other characters.
Know, that's like I said, everything goes with Freedom Fighter. I don't pull back anybody's reins whenever it comes to the artwork and say, hey, I don't like the way that looks, or that looks silly the way you did it. In fact, I should also mention this issue 10 is the first book that we're doing where Ravel Yumel actually took over all of the penciling, inking, and coloring. He's usually just the inker and colorist on the book, but he had said that for a while he'd like to do a whole book himself, so we let him go at it, you know, and so this is all him on that.
And, I was going to ask about that, because when I looked at it, the art seemed a little different.
Yeah, it is a little different than what AJ usually does, and it looks great, you know, it's mm-hmm. phenomenal. And then the bonus story, AJ has decided that he would go ahead and do all the penciling, inking, and coloring to mm-hmm. just the bonus story then, so mm-hmm. because he's kind of tied up with some other artwork jobs, you know, so it lightened his load a little bit to just have to do the 10-page story than the whole 28-page book. So
that's good and stuff. Now, when do you expect the book to be out?
Well, after the Kickstarter finishes, we have to put together the thank you page, and depending on how far we go with the Kickstarter, we have some other things planned that may go into the book. So once those are all put together, like I said, the book, as far as artwork, it's all finished. We just need to add the Kickstarter stuff to the back of the file so that way we can send it to the printer. I spoke with the printer earlier this month before we started the Kickstarter, and he didn't give me a for sure schedule, but, you know, we're hoping at the absolute latest people will have the book in their hands by July of next year. But I think that it will be much earlier than that. Okay. Of course, digital backers, they will get their book much sooner because, you know, it's as simple as soon as everything's added to the book, we just send it to them digitally.
Right.
But the print copies, we may have to wait, you know, a month or so after the book is, the Kickstarter's over.
Okay. Because now you're leaning me back towards the digital side again, which is where I started. So I'll figure out some way I can get both of them. That would be
the nice thing about the digital stuff.
Mm-hmm. I get to look at it too. See, my problem when it comes to physical books is that I'm starting to, like I said, I have a stack of stuff I haven't read as tall as I am, and that's not all I have.
Yeah.
You know, I have other stuff. I have shelves I can look at right now, or I have shelf after shelf of, tend to be graphic novels. I don't tend to put floppies aside. I tend to do the graphic novels, but it's just it's an interesting thing, this comic industry, and I really think that indie comics are where a lot of the creativity is these days. You're not hogtied into making Batman come back at the end of the issue like he was at the start, so somebody else can pick it up and do it. You can change things if you want to make changes in the storyline. And I think that, gosh, I see that so many times in the indie comics. And I go like, boy, I wish the other, you know, the quote-unquote mainstream comics could do that.
Yeah, our character, he grows throughout the series. And even in this series, he's going to grow quite a bit. So, we change his armor up from time to time. You know, essentially, he looks exactly the same, but, you know, since his armor can change, it makes it easy to make the change, and he can always change back.
Yeah, I saw a change in one of the books. I think it was like 8 or 9. There's a change in the costume that I liked.
Are you talking about the super armor that he has to wear? Yeah, that was actually issue 7, I believe.
Oh, 7, okay.
Where he fights the deformity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he had to beef up for that one.
Yeah. See, the thing I enjoyed about the book is this is what I like in a superhero comic. I like the action. I like the adventure. I like the danger. I like the not knowing exactly how things are going to work out. You know, I mean, it's very likely that Freedom Fighter is going to survive from issue to issue. But how he does it is part of the mystery of it and part of the fun of it, which I really like. I think it's, you know, superhero books have gotten kind of stale on some levels. As much as I love them and as much as I buy them, I like something that's a little different. This is the thing that Freedom Fighter does for me. It scratches that itch for something just a little different, that it's still within the superhero genre, but it is... It goes other places, which is what I really like about it.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to try to keep doing that with the character because, like I said, he goes everywhere. He does everything and nothing is off the limits, you know.
Now, you mentioned that you go to conventions. Have you started lining up conventions for next year? Have you got any more for this year? How's that working?
I am done with conventions for this year, and it was a very busy year. I think we did 12. Which is the most I've ever done in a year.
Wow.
And I know that might seem like a lightweight to a lot of people I know, but there's not really a lot of conventions around where I live in Indiana. So, you know, we always got to keep in mind the drive and the cost of whatever it takes to be there. So, but as far as next year, I have a couple in mind and a couple applications that I've, you know, kind of got sitting here waiting for me to get them sent in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of big ones. I know that for sure I'll be at Indiana Comic Con.
Okay.
I'll probably be in Louisville Galaxy Con again next year.
Okay.
I may go to C2E2, but that's going to kind of be if in something I can get with somebody else to be up there with me. So
that's
a little
expensive.
Bit of a drive. Yeah, it is expensive. A drive, and it's... It's expensive and it's a drive for me. So
yeah. And then the bad news is, once you get there, the traffic is still really congested. I mean, I was going like 5 miles from where I was staying to the convention. It took 45 minutes to get there when I would do it. And I was like, yo. But see, once you get there, you don't want to go back. And the bad news is, like 24 hours a day, it's pretty much like that. It's not just, you know, rush hour. It's the rest of the time.
Yeah, last time. We did, AJ and I were at C2E2. We actually stayed in a hotel about 6 blocks, I'd say, from the convention center, and we just walked it, which wasn't too bad, but, you know, it did beat sitting in traffic a lot, so.
Yeah, oh, man. I can imagine. So, you've got a couple of mine, but nothing ready to announce yet as far as next year?
Not at this time.
Okay, all right. So, if we want to find out where you're going to be when you make announcements, how do we do that? Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah,
how
Facebook and Twitter. I have a mailing list you can get to from my website, mhikemperbooks.com. If you put yourself on a mailing list, I'll let people know what I'm doing and where I'm going to be at. Of course, a lot of it right now is just updating people on the Kickstarter progress. But whenever we have a place that we're going to be showing our face, that's where we usually post it.
Okay. Why don't you spell your last name just in case
anybody
needs that.
HEITKEMPER.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure people can do that. So you said Facebook?
Yep, Facebook or Twitter. I'm all over the place if you look for me. It's almost, honestly, it's almost easier to just search for Freedom Fighter and you'll find me.
Okay. Very good, very good. So that's good stuff to see. Now, one of the things that puzzled me a little bit when I got to Kickstarter was I forgot that there's a book called Freedom Fighters.
Out. Oh, yeah, the DC book?
Yeah. So I hope that's not interfering with your stuff. I had to look through all the Freedom Fighter stuff, and there it was. I said, oh, thank goodness, there it is over there. It wasn't the first one. They moved you more towards the end of the line, which I was a little – I thought, you know, you don't have the S on it, you should be first, in my opinion. So I don't know why they moved you over like that, but I was glad you were there, so I got to buy, you know, the books I hadn't read yet, so it was really good stuff. I do want to talk about the Nameless Man.
Okay.
And stuff. He's kind of a supernatural villain.
Yeah, and he's going to play a part in Unity Reborn, because, of course, at the end of issue 9, it was kind of a bit of a cliffhanger there on what he's actually up to and where he came from, you know.
And how he knows so much about the Jason and the Freedom Fighter and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The of course, in issue 8 and 9, I think we do reveal the conspiracy is that he was the guy that actually created the mind control device that shows up in the story quite often. And he used that technology to make people forget who he was and that he even existed. So he's kind of like a legend myth type of thing. And it appears that he has gained that power and can use it willingly without a device in the comic book. So it's going to be interesting whenever, you know, things come to light on who he is and what he's actually up to.
He's also like the faceless man. He has like a mask that covers his face.
Oh, he has a face, but yeah, it is covered up and it's covered for good reason. But he's a mysterious character, man. He is.
Well, I like that kind of stuff because, you know, it's always a challenge because I'm a Batman fan. When Batman goes up against a supernatural force, because he's a physical guy, and not a supernatural guy, it's a real challenge. And that's the kind of the same thing I noticed with this, that this is a kind of a thing that Jason may not know how to deal with.
That's so right. You know, he's a rookie anyway, and you know, he's trying to figure it out. And when this guy knows everything about him and can seemingly kind of control his actions, then it's definitely throws him a curveball.
He was trying to punch him and stuff, and he couldn't.
Yeah, and he couldn't. He couldn't control his actions. So,
boy, that's for a superhero. That's scary stuff.
Yeah, and what was I going to say about him? I got to be careful because you know, there's a whole thing about the nameless guy, or the nameless man in issue 11 that we have planned. So,
Well, we won't spoil anything here. In other words, buy issue 11. Now, which of course leads to a question: are you going to Kickstarter 11 as well?
That's undetermined. I guess it depends on how well this one goes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole reason we started to do a Kickstarter is because, again, it goes back to talking to people at cons and they say we should try it, you know, because, you know, there's a reader base out there that really just buy their indie comics only off of Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And it's an odd thing, you know, but hey, let's show our character to these people too. And, see how it goes, you know.
See, because is that a challenge though to get the word out about the character? Because it must be some stores that you sell them through. Maybe people that you know, have interacted with and they sell your product for you. But it sounds like most of the time you're doing it through the cons.
Most of the time we are. Most sales come through cons or through my website or through Amazon because the trade paperback's available on Amazon now. So. We get a few sales through that. And, but yeah, we do have the books in a few, bookstores around, Louisville, Kentucky. The Destination is one of them. And, The Great Escape and, the Zone Comic Store in Louisville. So, but all of those things, you know, it's kind of on a consignment basis because, Diamond Distributors, they don't want to work with us just because we are an indie superhero book. Yeah. So, and, you know, I can see that too. They look at profit margins or whatever and they say, hey, this is a no go for us.
But in some ways it makes it a little harder for you. You have to physically go there and do the physical selling with people rather than, you know, you see the picture in Dime and then you order it through your local store kind of stuff. You're more or less out of that process. But this requires you guys to be hands-on a lot of the time.
Yeah, I enjoy it, though. I mean, I love going to cons and sitting there and meeting with people as they come up to the booth and talking about the character and talking with them and It's a good feeling whenever you see somebody flipping through the book and you're telling them about it and they're smiling and, you know, I've had people, mostly kids, they'll come up and they'll flip through a book and they'll stand there and read the book cover to cover and not pay for it, of course, but you know, that's okay. And, they enjoy it and they love it. And, one of the things, that's been, one of the cool things we've been doing at the cons is we created a set of trading cards a long time ago, back when we were with Outpouring Comics, and they were going to have them printed, but it never happened. So we ended up actually having them printed this year and just handing them out at cons because, you know, they're inexpensive little things. And there were like it was at Frankfurt Con earlier this year. I handed them out to some kids and they came back and they just they loved the heck out of them, you know, because they said all of these characters, they're so cool because we had a card for every character in the story at the time. And, they'd read the backs of them and hear what they're about, and they had their favorites picked out. It's just a good feeling whenever you have that hands-on selling the books to people.
So. Yeah, well, I'll tell you a real quick story, because I do likewise. I mean, I go with friends to sell stuff at cons, and we were at Awesome Con. I'll never forget it. This guy came up, and he picked up a trade paperback. And he read page after page after page. He stood there for must have been a half an hour reading it. And I was just dying to see what he was going to do when he got done with it. And he read it and he put it back and walked away. You know, he must have liked it because he read the whole thing, but he didn't like it enough to buy it.
Right.
That didn't have any money or whatever it was, but we just sort of smiled, you know.
Yeah.
He held his attention long enough to read it, but not enough to get to fork over any money for that. So.
Yeah, you'll get those every now and then. And, you know, I like when people just read my stuff. It's a huge compliment to me just to see someone reading the story and enjoying it in some way. And, you know, I'm sure some people might not enjoy everything about some stories, but, you know, that's you can't please everybody. But, you know, I've had people come up to the booth and say they could probably read this comic book and tell me exactly how I vote. And I said, well, I don't know what that's all about, but you know, this is a comic book, man.
I don't like politics involved in comics. I prefer it to be separate.
I don't either. And, you know, that's the thing with the Freedom Fighter. You know, he's a government-owned and operated superhero, so people automatically assume it has some kind of political agenda to it. It really doesn't. You know, we don't, you know, the president hasn't even made an appearance in the book. You know, it's all run by just undermined cronies and stuff. And, some of the positions don't even exist in real life. So it's just, it is all in fun.
Yeah. It's a story. Superhero stories were originally intended to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of fun with those kinds of things. Now, you talked about Freedom Fighter, of course, is still going on, and Acts of Contrition you're working on. Are there other projects that you're working on we should be aware of?
I am writing a few stories, a few books. They're not comic books. They're going to be a story series of kind of a middle grade fiction type of book stories for kids, and I'm working on that. It's going to be a while before that's available or anything to talk about on it, but other than it's happening. So I got that I'm working on, and of course Acts of Contrition, we got a lot of things planned with it, and it's taken up probably the majority of my time whenever it comes to writing, besides this Kickstarter right now. So
good. Well, sounds good. I'm looking forward to reading all of them. I read the first Acts of Contrition. I got to get a hold of the next two. What my goal is going to be. I did want to encourage you when you were talking about doing like a young adult type book. There are several of those out now that really get my attention. I mean, DC has been putting a whole bunch of them out. They've suddenly decided to go at them, and they're like, usually like a duotone type book, you know, one color and black, like blue and black or brown and black or something like that. But there are other ones around. There's a great one called Amulet that I really enjoy. Cleopatra out in space. I can't remember the exact name of the book. It's Cleopatra something in space or something, and that's really good. Cleopatra as a teenager gets sent to the future.
Oh wow.
And she's out. She's dealing with space issues and, you know, sci-fi type stuff. And he's got five issues out. I think it's Mike Mahak. It's the name of the guy who does them. And I would go to cons and I'd see his booth there and I think I gotta buy that one day. I just didn't have the money with me. One con, I finally looked at it and I said, okay, I got the money. Let's do it. So I think I got four or five of the books. And man, I shot through them. I mean, they were really nicely done. Yeah, I like it when something pulls me through the book, and I don't even realize I'm going. I get to the end of the book, but lucky for me, I had more of them. I didn't just get stuck at one. So he's got, I think, the final one is he's working on right now, and he's going to come out with that. But I think there is a real market for that kind of stuff. So I would say keep going with it because I just keep seeing more and more people you know, going into that kind of thing. And it's, let's face it, that's a time when we want to get people reading.
Exactly. That's what I was about to add is it's just, I like the idea of writing for younger readers just because, you know, it's a good thing to get people to start reading and read more and more and more. Don't stop reading, you know, mm-hmm. and transition, of course, into adult reading. But, reading is really important. And mm-hmm. it also stretches people's imaginations and mm-hmm. helps people to be creative and, mm-hmm. You know, step outside the circle a little bit and do something on their own.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing. Well, Freedom Fighter certainly does that, and so does Acts of Contrition. So if you have any interest in this, and I imagine a lot of you folks do, I would get to the Kickstarter and get Freedom Fighter. Look for it there, and we want to get this past the goal and on to stretch goals and good things, because this has good stuff. We want to see more Freedom Fighter as you go for. I'd like to see more of those action figures, to be honest with you. That'd be fun stuff. So, man, I have to tell you, Mike, keep it up. You're doing good stuff, and much success with this and your other projects, because I've enjoyed everything of yours I've read. I just think that's really great storytelling, and, man, I can't wait to see what you're going to do next.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. It means a lot.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
For this episode. Be back next week when we'll have much more on the comics universes. But until then, keep reading your comics.